All right, I never know what to do in this situation. My watch says 9:29 and that clock says 9:30 and then I'm just stuck. I don't know what to do. Anyway, I'm back. We had a great, Janine and I had a nice time. We went to Tupelo, Mississippi, and Tessa Weldon, who's now Tessa Delaney, married Brandon, not Brandon, Brannon. See, I get this wrong too. They're off and married for a whole, almost a week now. And but now we are back. It is a beautiful day to be gathered in the house of the Lord. Every day is a beautiful day, even if it's raining or snowing or sleeting or icing or whatever. It's always a good day to be here because this is the place where we need to be. It's the place where we get to receive the grace and mercy and love that God has for us, as well as his instruction in Holy Scripture. And so as we are gathered here this beautiful day, let us begin remembering the day that we were brought into the family of God through baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have made it possible for us to gather here. That by the death and resurrection of your Son, Lord, you have made us your people. And that you desire your people to be gathered in your name, in your place, to study and hear your word. To receive the forgiveness of sins that you earned for us, Lord. So that we can live as the people of God that you have made us be. Lord, I pray that you would be here this morning. Send your Spirit to work in our hearts and our minds so that we can hear your word, understand your truth, and apply it in our lives, Lord, so that we can make the most of every opportunity as we share the faith that you have given us. All this, Lord, we pray in your holy name. Amen. All right, my friends. Next, we're going to do confession and absolution, and I thought there'd be, actually it'd be kind of good to talk about that for just a second. Because the question is, when we do this confession, you know, what are we confessing? I mean, how do we know what sins we're supposed to feel sorry for or repent for and stuff? And people have asked that question before, believe it or not. In fact, Martin Luther, in the 1500s, actually wrote in his catechism an answer to that very question. And he says, so what are the sins that we should confess? And he said this, consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. So first of all, walk down the Ten Commandments. Makes a good sense, right? And then he said, walk down all of the different vocations, all of the different jobs God has given you in life. So are you a father, a son, a mother, a daughter, a husband, a wife, a worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered? Not me. Rude or quarrelsome? Again, not me. Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? And, you know, as soon as we start getting serious about asking ourselves the questions about, you know, and wives, it's not fair to elbow your husbands. You're supposed to be doing this for yourself. Yeah, anyway, husband, same thing. But the thing is that once we get serious about our sin and what we have done wrong, that it matters more to be able to come here and to have the opportunity to lay these sins at the foot of the cross and receive forgiveness for them. So please stand as we confess our sins today. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, it is a wonderful thing to be gathered in God's house, a wonderful thing to be welcomed here, another, a wonderful thing to be able to lay our sins at the feet of the cross and to receive this forgiveness. And now it's a wonderful thing to be able to respond with songs of joy. So let's sing together this morning.
When waters die. My name is Steve Mangrum, one of your elders. First of all, what a beautiful day this is. The Lord's made many beautiful days lately. The first scripture reading today, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not changed. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, with eternal glory. This is a trustworthy saying. If we died in him, we will also live in him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. And if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, and he cannot disown himself. This is the word of the Lord.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve. And the sermon text, is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were cleansed. But one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is God's word for us today. And now it's time for the children's message. So kids, if you want to come forward at this time, Mrs. Haas, there we go. Sherry Haas has the children's message for us this morning. I'm always relieved when I see people actually get up. Otherwise, I'm going to have to do something really fast. Yeah.
Come on up, everybody. Get close. I am so glad you guys are all here today. Thank you for coming up. So what I want to talk to you today is about thankfulness. I was wondering if anybody was listening when Pastor Bob just read from the Bible about the story today. Was anybody listening? Good job. Okay. So God tells us that we are supposed to be thankful every single day because he gives us so many good gifts. Every day, every good thing that we have comes from God. But a lot of times we forget to say thankful or say thank you. So what I want to ask you guys right now first is if you can tell me some things that you might be thankful for today. Can you think of anything? What? Your family and your friends. That's really important. God gave those to you. What else?
To afford
food and water. Very good. Anybody think of anything else? What about, let's see. You woke up this morning and you opened your eyes, and I bet you guys were each in a warm, cozy bed, right? In a house that God gave you. And I bet that most of you had something to eat before you came. What?
Breakfast.
So God provided food for you, right? What about even just when you opened your eyes and you can see? Like, I'm looking at all of you and you're looking at me. You can all see. That's a gift. And you can all hear. You can hear what I'm saying, right? See, we take these things for granted, but those are all gifts from God because some people can't do that. You guys are healthy. You're here today. You get to come to church. Some places you can't go to church. And so those are all important things. And so, and your pretty dress. That's very pretty. So the story that that Pastor Bob talked about that you guys weren't listening to is about Jesus, and he was walking down the road, and he's talking to all his friends and his followers, and all of a sudden he hears somebody yelling at him, and he looks over, and there's 10 men. Now, they're not close to him. They're kind of apart, and they're all yelling, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us. Please heal us." So these men had this horrible disease that used to be prevalent back in the time that Jesus was on the earth, and it still is in some places. It's called leprosy. Does anybody know what that is? Okay, it's awful. So what it is it's a skin disease, and you get big, huge, ugly, painful sores all over your body. Now, it's not like when you just have a rash and your mom takes you to the doctor. I mean, this is really bad. It's so bad that parts of your body can even fall off. Like, you could lose fingers, you could lose your nose. Like, it's terrible. And if people got it, they had to live away from their families. Like, you couldn't even live near your family anymore. Like, if you got sick, you'd have to go far away because nobody wanted to be by you because they were so afraid that they would get it too. And so there were groups of people that had this disease that lived far away, and they couldn't even see the people that they love unless they stood here and way back over there, they could wave at them or say hello. They couldn't even live in their house anymore. So it was a bad disease. And so Jesus looked over at them, and you know, Jesus loves us all so much, and he felt so bad for them. And so he said, "Why don't you go to the priest and visit him and tell him what happened? Tell him." See, what happened is when you had to go to the priest, it was something they did back then to show that they had been healed and so that they could be back around other people. So they hadn't been healed yet, right? So they just all take off and they start going to the priest. And as they go, they look down at their arms and legs, and all their sores had disappeared. So Jesus had healed them. So they went to the priest, and they were all so excited. They're like, "Yay, look at us. Like, we're healed. This is awesome." And they're running up and down the streets, and they're so happy. And everybody's like, "Yay, you get to go home." And one of them thought about it, and he's like, "Wait a minute. I need to go back and tell Jesus thank you." So he goes all the way back to Jesus, and he falls down at his feet, and he says, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing me." And Jesus says, you're welcome. And then he's like, "But where are the other nine?" They didn't come back and say thank you. And so what we need to remember is that Jesus blesses us all the time. And a lot of times, the grown-ups too, we forget to say thank you. And so he gives us so many things that we just get used to it, right? Here, let's not do that for a second. You can do that in a minute, okay? And so anyway, sometimes what we do is complain instead. We don't say thank you, but we complain. So Pastor Bob and I and other people in this congregation are going to go to Guatemala on Saturday. And I wanted to mention a couple of things that you guys might complain about, but in Guatemala, the children would be so thankful for. For instance, like if you ask your mom for, what, cookies or candy or something, and your mom's like, no, you can't have them, but I'll give you this apple. And you're like, no, I don't want an apple. I want cookies. And your mom's like, nope, I want you to have the apple instead. The children that we get to meet in Guatemala would be so happy to have an apple because most of the time, a lot of those kids just eat tortillas. They don't have any other food. It's like all they have all day. So if they got an apple, they would be so happy. But that's something sometimes we're not thankful for because we want something else, right? It's the same thing with your birthday. So probably on your birthday, you tell mom and dad you've got this whole list of things that you want. And if mom and dad came out and they were like, here you go, we got you this little bouncy ball. And you'd be like, what? Like, that's the only thing I'm getting on my birthday? But when we go to Guatemala, if we give the kids a ball, do you know how excited they are? They don't have a lot of toys. They don't have any toys, some of them. And if they would get a little bouncy ball, they'd be so happy and so thankful. So the point I'm trying to make you guys is that you need to just think about these things and be thankful for all the gifts that God gives you. Okay? And one other thing I want to mention is that October is an awesome month. It's really special. Do you know what's special about October? Like what happens in October? Halloween, that's pretty awesome. But you know what I'm talking about? Something else. It's called Pastor Appreciation Month. You know who our pastor is? Pastor Bob. He's right there. And that's somebody that we should be thankful for. We need to thank God for Pastor Bob because he leads our whole congregation and he loves all of you and he would do anything to help you. So on the count of three, everybody here, we're going to say thank you, Pastor Bob, okay? Loud. One, two, three. Thank you, Pastor Bob. And let's thank God for Pastor Bob each day and for all the things that God's given us, okay? So I'm going to say a prayer. Will you guys repeat after me? Let's fold your hands and bow your heads. Dear God, thank you for this new day. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given us every day. Please help us to remember that you've given us the most important gift. And that's Jesus. And he came and died on the cross for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming up, guys.
So now it is time for little worship. So all the kids, 4-year-old through fourth grade, can meet at the cross in the center aisle. Thank you, Miss Sherry. And let's see. And you guys are going to get your teaching, and the rest of us are going to dig into God's word right here and right now. All right. So we read the text earlier, and you guys remember the story, right? Were you paying attention?
Yeah.
Just making sure. Okay, very good. Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. I mean, you got to remember what that means. It doesn't just mean he's like, you know, going to Jerusalem for a visit. He knows why he's going to Jerusalem, right? I mean, this is the time he goes to Jerusalem where he is going to be crucified. And he's very, very aware of it. Ever since he came off the mountain at Transfiguration, Luke tells us that he turned his face toward Jerusalem, and he knew this was it. This is what was happening next. So on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was traveling along the road, and all of a sudden, he's visiting a little village, and we have no idea what village this is. The one thing we do know is that the village was in a rather interesting place. It was the village in between, you know? It was like one of those border towns, you know, that's kind of, nowadays we see border towns as kind of like half one and half another, right? Because we in our current days have really accurate maps and you know, precise boundaries and stuff. You know, you drive into a new town, there's a sign right at the boundary, right? It says, welcome to wherever. Welcome to Eureka. Welcome to whatever. And so we're very aware of very clear boundaries now. But back then, of course, that wasn't quite a thing. They just knew that this was a border town. It was not really Samaria and not really Galilee. It was just kind of a town in between. Kind of funny how that is, because, you know, both Samaria and Galilee were kind of like not the best places to live. I mean, Galilee was just like the Hickville. You know, it's kind of like that, you know, that place that you live, you know, if you're not one of the cool people. If you're one of the cool people, you live down south in Judah, and you're never really closer to Jerusalem, and it's where the king is and all that. Up in Galilee, it was just out in the country. And then there's Samaria. And Samaria is even worse. Samaria is the place when remember way back when the children of Israel were taken into captivity into Babylon, and it was bad, because they basically took all of the young, healthy, smart, talented people. So if you fit one of those categories, if you were like really good at building something, or really good at, you know, whatever, if you were really, really intelligent, if you had something going for you, or if you could even just work really hard, you're physically were strong, they would take you to Babylon because you were going to be useful for them. And of course, if you were not young, smart, talented, or strong, you would be left behind. Well, the trouble is, it gets to be a little hard to survive when all of the smart and talented and strong people are gone. And so the people who were left behind had a real survival problem. And so they solved the problem by intermarrying with other peoples around them. And they became not pure Jewish people. They became tainted. They became mixed race. And when the children of Israel came back out of captivity, the ones who had been in captivity, who had stayed pure, who had not intermarried in Babylon, where they would be tempted to do so as well, but those who did not defile themselves, they came back to the land, and they found that it was populated by a bunch of these people that then they looked down on. So it's always good when you have somebody that you can look down on, you know? And I say that that's not really right. But the thing is that that's what they did, is that these Samaritans were the ones that the Jewish people looked down on. And so the people in Jerusalem could look down on the people in Galilee, but that's okay, because the people in Galilee could look down on the people in Samaria. So we were all good yet. And then we have to talk about leprosy, and when Sherry was really good talking about that, this nasty degenerative disease that just robs people of any kind of life quality. This disease is covered by Old Testament law that when somebody is declared to have leprosy, they have to move not just out of their town, out of their house, and they have no more contact with people who are healthy. That includes their own families, that includes their entire community. And so, of course, the people who have leprosy looking for some kind of community end up moving close to each other so that they can at least take care of each other. And that's what this was 10 guys that came together. And kind of funny, because in most cases, the Jews would not hang out with the Samaritans, right? But once you're the cast off, once you're the one that can no longer be part of community anymore, that kind of boundary kind of broke down a bit. And so we had at least one Samaritan, at least one Gentile that was mixed in with these at least some, you know, Jewish lepers. And these guys show up, and you know, they had to be a little excited that Jesus was where he was, because most of the time they weren't able to go anywhere or do any. I mean, if Jesus was in Jerusalem, could they go to Jerusalem and see Jesus? I mean, they basically, their job as a leper was to make sure that they didn't come into contact with anybody else. I mean, they were the one that had to yell, don't, you know, unclean, unclean, so that you would have an opportunity to get around them and not be exposed. You kind of get the feel for how that must have felt with COVID, right? I mean, who here had the COVID, right? Yeah, exactly. And then you remember when you were unclean? You know, where you have to, like, tell everybody, I have COVID, stay away. You know, that whole feeling. Well, this was, I mean, that's COVID, which was, you know, significant enough, but it wasn't leprosy and it wasn't for the rest of your life. And so these people, they couldn't go where everybody was, and so they couldn't go to where Jesus was. And so Jesus, on the way to Jerusalem, went to where they were, in this in-between place, out in the middle of nowhere, where there happened to be a village. Some people even think maybe the village was lepers. You know, that Jesus went to the people who were... You know, Jesus got in trouble for hanging out with rejects. I mean, you know, the Pharisees gave them trouble about hanging out with the tax collectors and sinners and even eating with them. And it was so just wrong, because you don't hang out with those people. Well, this was a move in another direction. I mean, a totally new order of magnitude. Jesus didn't just go hang out with the sinners and the tax collectors. He went and hung out with the lepers. He went to where they were. And the lepers had to be kind of excited about this, because here they are. Now Jesus is close by. And they managed to get themselves in Jesus's way at a distance. You know, they managed to cut him off or something and get in front of him. And then they all stand there and yell, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy." And Jesus, this is a really unusual miracle, because most of the time Jesus kind of connects with and relates to the people that he's healing. You know, it's like, forgive their sins. And then when the people get offended by that, then he'll say, well, what's harder, to forgive sins or to make, you know, tell them to get up and walk? And then they get up and walk. I mean, Jesus would do some kind of relational thing with the people, but of course with leprosy, it was a little bit harder. And so Jesus doesn't even say, fine, I'll have mercy on you. He doesn't say, you know, he just says, go show yourself to the priest. Well, that was a good message for these people, because guess what? If you have leprosy and you suddenly are healed, if it like goes away, there is the opportunity to show yourself to the priest and get cleared to become part of society again. In the Jewish law, right? In the Old Testament law. And so when Jesus told them, go show yourself to the priest, what he was telling them is, you're healed, go to the priest, go through the steps, and then you're going to be able to return to life. But what about the Samaritan? I mean, he wasn't allowed in the temple. You know, he was the court of the Gentiles was the farthest, the closest he could get to the temple, which was the farthest court out. Leprosy wasn't the reason he was unclean. He was unclean from birth, because he wasn't one of God's people. He was a reject on several levels. I mean, he was born a reject as far as the Jewish people were concerned. And then he just became more of a reject once he got leprosy. Now, while he had leprosy and all these other Jewish guys had leprosy, they were able to hang out together, right? Because the leprosy was a bigger problem than whether or not you were Jewish or Samaritan. But all of a sudden now the guys are getting healed and they're all going to the temple, where this guy can't go. And they're all going to re-enter Jewish society and become clean and be able to go to the temple and worship and be able to be part of their families and do all that again, which is all the things this guy never can have. And you know, it's funny because, you know, Jesus says, you know, why is it not, did nobody else come back? They were doing what Jesus told them to do. Right? Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And so they went and showed themselves to the priest, and then, well, the one guy came back because he couldn't show himself to the priest. The other people were going to be in the temple. Do you think they were grateful? I mean, at some level, they had to be, right? I mean, but they were going to the place where God was, so they could give thanks there. But what about this Samaritan? What was he supposed to do? And so the reject's reject. What does he do? He comes to his high priest. He comes to the one that he can depend on, the one who came to him, the one who rescued him, the one who saved him. He came to the one that God had sent, the one who was and is God. And he worshiped God because of what God had done for him. He responded in gratefulness beyond measure, with just such happiness and such joy. Because finally, he wasn't one of the outsiders. Finally, there was one who received him, loved him, cared for him. Somebody who included him in the blessing of healing. And folks, you know, a lot of kinds of healing that we get out there, right? I mean, we go through life and we get dinged up. You know, we see the little kids and we know how it looks when the little one falls down and then looks up to see if you're paying attention so they know whether or not to cry. And, I mean, we know what it's like when you hurt yourself, when you know, I've got dings all over my hands. Again, I've been working on my car, so of course I do. It's just part of the deal. And we do this in life, we walk through, but it's not just these little physical problems. It's all the emotional things that happen to us, right? It's all the little spiritual problems that come along. It's all of these ways that we are dinged up and hurt, injured. And the question is this: when we are hurt, where do we go? There's always another answer, you know, when you're, you know, emotionally hurting. You can go to a counselor, you can go to a doctor and get a drug. You can, if you're physically hurt, you can go to a doctor. You know, there's always some place you can go. But when you're marred by life and hurt and damaged, where do you go? Because all 10 lepers got that one right. They went to Jesus. And they went to him and they said, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And Jesus did. And Jesus did more than they even asked for, especially for this Samaritan. Healed him physically, but then he also welcomed him in. You got to wonder how many of these lepers were in Jerusalem at the time that Jesus was crucified. I mean, it was a big festival, and they hadn't been able to go to festivals for a while, you know, because they had leprosy, so chances are they were there. And so they got, if they were, they got to see what Jesus was willing to do. What Jesus did is he gave himself completely for our sin and made it possible for us to be brought into that relationship with him that he wants to have so badly. So my friends, they say the perfect prayer is be able to come to God and just say help. Say it's a perfect prayer because you're not injecting anything into it. You're not trying to tell God how to help you. Do we ever do that? Yeah, God, I can handle this, this, and this, but I need help with this, right? The truth is, can you handle any of it? Well, probably not. You're probably better off just going to the God who actually knows you better and knows exactly what you're facing and even the stuff you don't know about, and just come to him and say, help. Lord, have mercy on me. And we have a God, God who has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us, a God who was willing to go to the cross to pay for our sin and give us a, make a, create a relationship with us, a God who promises that when this life is over, he is now currently right now in heaven preparing a place for us to go. We have a God who is amazing, a God that we can praise and glorify for all the blessings that he has given us. And as we talked earlier about the depth of our sin, we also can really give some time and meditation to the depth of our blessing, of all the ways that our God has provided for us and all the way he's promised to do so forever. And so, my friends, let's take the opportunity right now to give our thanksgiving and our prayer, our praise, and give our God glory, the glory he deserves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you have done so much, so much. Lord, you gave us life, and then when we wrecked that life, Lord, you gave us life again. You gave us the very life of your Son Jesus, the life that covers us, that perfection, that flawless gift of holiness, Lord, that we can wear when we stand before you. And that because you have given this to us, Lord, we are counted as your children. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to be cognizant, Lord, of exactly all the things you have done for us and the depth of your gifts, so that we can always, Lord, be grateful and give praise to you in all circumstances because of the blessings that you give us every day. Thank you, Jesus, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So dearly, that I. My friends, please stand as we confess the faith that our God has revealed to us using the explanation to the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that my God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. And all this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. At this time, if you guys would take a seat, and I'm going to call the Guatemala team to come forward. So if you're going to Guatemala this week, oh my goodness, it's this week already. All right. And then one other member of our team is my son, Jesse, who just jumped in. He can't be here today because he's a seminary student, and so he's got a fieldwork church he has to go to. But anyway, folks, we are going to be doing something. We're excited to go. I mean, we're really excited to go. Everybody here has been before. Nope, not Lars and not Jesse. But other than that, I'm so sorry. But we've got a lot of friends down there. One of the beautiful things of being able to do mission work at the same location year after year is that we develop really close relationships with the people that God has planted in that place to do his work. The pastor, the people who serve in the communities. You guys saw Nils, the guy who was handing out the food. He's just a citizen down there. He was the mayor of the town for a while. You know, he serves his neighbors, he takes care of people, and he did that for us just out of the goodness of his heart, being just an act of service so that we would be able to help. These are some people who really need encouragement, people who need to be held up and valued and given some help themselves so that they can stay at the work that God gave them. And so one of the reasons we go is so that we can do that. And then we also go so that we can meet new people. We meet every time we go down there, we get to know at least one family really, really good because we build a house for them. And they're usually part of the construction process. And so we get to know them, we get to know their kids, we get to know their grandparents, we get to know their aunts and uncles, we get to know a whole bunch of people. And when we go there, we also go around and we visit all the families of the houses we built in the past, although we're not able to get to all of them anymore. No, because they're getting to be too many houses to go to. But such a terrible thing, right? And so we get to know these new people, and then we continue to go to them and encourage them to continue to grow in their faith. So, and then we work in the church, and we just try to bond as many people to the church, taking care of children for the VBS, getting to know their parents. And it is really amazing how the children that we went, like how many years ago, 10, 12 years ago, those children aren't children anymore, but now they still show up at VBS to help and sometimes with their own children. And so it's an amazing thing that God is doing through this mission, and all we are doing when we go there, it's really a very simple strategy. We're just going to make the most of every opportunity. If we bump into somebody who's doing ministry, we'll encourage them. If we run into somebody who doesn't know him, we're going to tell them about him. We're going to bond them to the church. We're going to encourage the pastor. We're going to encourage the people who we've already gotten to know. We're going to do the most that we can possibly do in every opportunity that we have. And through that work, the Spirit is strong, and he does what he does. And it's an amazing thing. So let's pray as we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for these people that you have gathered and given the commission to go to Guatemala. Lord, I pray that you would prepare the way for us, Lord, that you would help us to get to walk into situations, Lord, of people that you've already been working on, that you know, we're not the ones that bring you with nothing happening there, Lord, but that you are already at work. And that, Lord, we pray that you would give us the guidance, give us the courage, give us the opportunities, Lord, so that we can do the work that you have laid out before us to do. Lord, I pray that you would give us safe travel, Lord, keep us healthy as we go, and just teach us, Lord. Teach us about you. Teach us about your grace. Teach us about your power as we see you work in another context. All this, Lord, we pray in your holy name we pray. Amen.
And that's the family.
Oh, this, yeah, okay, very good. Yeah, this is the family that we're going to go and help. And they've already begun construction on the new house. They have to put the concrete block up and stuff, otherwise that won't cure, and we can't put a roof on a house that's still mushy. And so they've already been working on it. The dad has been there and working on it a lot. It's just it's an amazing thing. This is the family. This is like part of the family. I don't think this is the whole family. Yeah, it's like 11 people that are living in that little house right there. And I'm not exactly sure. The house that we build for them is like, what, 2 bedrooms and a living room and a bathroom. It's really small. They're not all going to be able to move into the new house either. But this is the family. They might. You never know. This is the family that we're going to be serving. And so we just ask that you guys would be in prayer for them as well as we do ministry down there. Thanks, Sherry. All right, and now let us stand as we pray. What? Oh, Arizona Mission Report. I'm sorry, please be, is there somebody here for the Arizona Mission Report? I don't think so. I think we're going to reschedule that one. So yes, now let's stand again. We're going to pray. I didn't think that was right. That's okay. Let's see here. It's what happens when you come back from vacation. You're just not quite up to speed on everything. All right, we have a few things to pray for today. First of all, after the service today, Cooper Jett is going to be baptized. He's one of our seventh grade students that is in our confirmation program, and he just said, I haven't been baptized. Can I get baptized? And of course we will baptize all the time. We want to be in prayer for Tessa and Brandon as they have just started their life together as a married couple. We want to pray for Mike Defoe and his family as his mom is just going into hospice. And we want to be praying for everybody who was affected by the hurricane that tore through Florida and Georgia and wherever else. But we especially want to be praying for our brothers and sisters at Trinity Lutheran Church in Port Charlotte, where they sustained some very serious building damage. And so that's really tough on a congregation, and so we want to be holding them up as well. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for making us your people and for putting us in the world where we are able to do your work. Lord, that it's just such an amazing thing that you have laid out for us good deeds that we are to do, and that you would guide us and encourage us and lead us and prepare us and give us the courage, Lord, to speak. And then you put words in our mouths at just the right time. Lord, I pray that you would continue to do that work through us, Lord. When we say that St. Mark's is doing something, what we have to remember is that means us. That means each and every one of us who's a person, a part of this congregation, Lord, is St. Mark's doing things, and that you have given us the job of doing things in our neighborhoods, in our world, in our work, in our time off, Lord, that you have given us responsibility to do and to carry out this ministry. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be courageous as we do so. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with Cooper, Lord, as he grows in his faith, Lord, and as today especially, as this is going to be his baptism birthday. Pray, Lord, that as he receives that new connection to you, Lord, through that amazing gift of baptism, Lord, that he would continue to learn and to grow and to benefit, Lord, because of your incredible grace in his life. Lord, I pray you'd be with Tessa and Brandon, Lord, as they begin their life together, Lord, as you have tied them together in this gift of marriage. Lord, I pray that they would continue to grow close to each other, Lord, but also that they would grow in a relationship with you, that relationship with you, that your being part of their marriage is so essentially important to give them the strength and the definition, Lord, needed so that they can encourage each other and be the blessing to each other that you have called them to have. Lord, I also pray that you would be with the Defoes, Lord, that you would give them strength, that you would help them to encourage one another, that you would be their comfort and their courage in this difficult time, Lord, and that you would. We pray that you would be with Mike's mom, that she would be able to be comfortable, Lord, as her life comes to an end. And Lord, we pray for all those who have suffered in this hurricane. Pray that you would be with all of them, that you would call us, Lord, and call people that will bring relief to those who are in need. And Lord, we pray especially for our brothers and sisters at Trinity Lutheran Church, that you would continue to be their strength in this difficult time, that you would provide for them and care for them, and that you would, the long-term provision of giving them a building, Lord, that they can use, but the short-term provision of giving them a place that they can meet in the meantime so that they can continue to receive the mercy and grace that you have for them in your word. Lord, all these things we bring before you today, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Glorious day.
a beautiful thing that our God has provided for us, his body and blood and the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation that we need because he loves us so richly and so deeply. This is Christ, the bridegroom, providing for the church, his bride. And he doesn't provide meagerly. He provides opulently with all that we need to support this body and life and to take us to our home in heaven with him forever. And so as we have received this incredible gift of his body and blood, depart in his peace. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up and sing the final song again. And this song just drives home the truth, which is it's not about us. It's not because we are strong. It's not because we are great. But it's because his grace is everything. And his grace, as weak as we are, his grace is enough.
Father, in your love, your grace is enough.
right, have a seat really quick. After the service today, well, actually 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the, well, you know what? I'm going to take this in order. Right after the service today, we have a baptism. Right after the baptism, we have a mission trip Bible study in the conference room. So mission trip Bible people, I'm going to be just a little bit late because we got a baptism first. And the people who are going to be meeting in the prayer chapel after the baptism, you're going to be a little bit late because I've got a baptism first. All right? All right. Then after the baptism is all over, we're going to have a Bible study in here. We're going to have a mission trip Bible study in the conference room. And after that's all over, at 1 o'clock, we are going to be teaching the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders about Holy Communion and how to examine themselves so that they can be prepared to take the meal. So if anybody 6th, 7th, and 8th grade has not been through that training yet, and parents, you've got thumbs up that you think they're ready, then bring them, and we will get them trained up. All right? Let's see here. What else has we got going on here? Dying to donate tomorrow, October 10th at Camilla's to help fund Guatemala missions. And next week is Trunk or Treat. Kids come dressed appropriately for church, but in costumes, so that you can go over there. All right. And then the Life Team event is this Saturday. We know God values life. And we you know, when we talk about Life Teams, we always think in terms of abortion and pro-life, but we're talking about a lot more than that. If you're alive, God says you're valuable and you need to be loved and cared for. And so this Saturday, we're having a class preparing people and helping people with memory issues. And that's for caregivers and for people who are starting to experience memory loss. My wife might need to go. With that, let's... I always say, if I ever start losing my memory, nobody's going to know. It's just, anyway, school children are starting to sell TJ's Pizza. So if you're into that kind of thing, that St. Louis pizza with that cheese, there's a form out in the lobby, or you can find a St. Mark student to buy from. So is there any St. Mark students here that want to sell pizza this morning? Stand up and everybody can look at you and find you. We got one raising their hand back there, but she's really short. Oh, there's some over here. Very good. Excellent. All right. So if you guys are looking for some pizza, you can go hunt them down. All right. With that then, I just want to tell you, it's wonderful to be in this place. It's wonderful to be in our God's presence. It's wonderful to be here with our family. And as we go our way today, I'm not going to be able to say goodbye to you in the back today because we have a baptism. Very good. Excellent. And so we're going to get that going right away. But God's blessings on all your weeks. And just know that we love you very much.